Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to The Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Once again, I want to thank the great audience. Got up to join us here at the Fountain Blue Hotel. Studio audience all week long. Today's Mercedes-Benz interview of the day brought to you by Mercedes-Benz EV. Owning a Mercedes-Benz EV isn't just extraordinary, it's extra easy. With full remote access to your vehicle from your phone, the vehicle all electric, the feeling all Mercedes, the choice all yours. Learn more at mbusa.com/EQ. It's time for our lead guest of Super Bowl week. We wanted to have on a Las Vegas legend, a pillar of the Vegas entertainment scene, but they were all too busy and wouldn't get up this morning. So please welcome the great Carrot Top.
Yeah.
Hi, buddy. Carrot Top is, this is what, 18 years?
Yes. 18 years of the Luxor, yes.
Yes.
And I was just thinking, when you, before your intro, that's absolutely the truth. Everyone would not come down here at this hour. We sleep in at night. They asked to do it. I said, I'll do it.
Did you go to bed last night?
Really late.
You did.
I watched it in the Grammys, and then I tried to pass.
Okay, so when you were on the Vegas,
yes.
Vegas scene,
yes.
When did you decide not to kind of indulge in the Vegas scene?
I never honestly have. I'm the biggest nerd in the world. I go in and out the back door and do the show and go home. It's every night. It's six nights a week, so it's kind of taxing.
Okay, but a lot of comedians...
there's always been time for drinking, gambling, hookers, and drugs. but was early on.
Not on a regular basis.
Not on a regular basis.
Did you ever have...
Take a week off.
Did you ever have some rough nights here?
Yes, of course we did. Yeah.
Well, give me an idea. Well, early on,
yeah, you wake up, you know, right around showtime, and you're like, oh, rough, you know, come out of that pool, like you said. But you try not to have too many of those nights, you know. If you want to be a pro and be here ever, you got to kind of take it like a real job, because people think, oh, you're Vegas, you know. They always make fun of you. Oh, you go to work at what? Do an hour a night? Oh boy, that's rough. But in reality, the show starts in, 3 in the afternoon, getting ready for it, yeah. Writing, preparing, and then rehearsing, and then doing sound checks, and the meet and greet, and then the show. So you're there from 3 to 11.
When did you realize you could make this a career?
Just 20 minutes. No, I swear, I don't know. It happens so fast, right? You just one day you're trying to an open mic night and trying to get in a gig. And then the next thing you know, they're like, this is your 18th year at the Luxor, so it goes by fast.
Okay, but when did you decide what your angle was going to be in entertainment?
Oh, yeah, with the props and all that? Yeah, I know. That's how I always tell young kids, you know, is trying to find your voice and find out what is going to be your platform. I had no idea. I went up there, and I think my first joke was a neighborhood crime watch sign that I had stolen. And I walked on stage and I said, sorry I'm late, I'm in the neighborhood. And I said, how good is Crime Watch if they're not even watching their signs? And so it was a good intro, and it was funny, one, because I stole it. But it was also true because it was true, you know.
How much thievery goes on in your world?
A lot, yeah.
Is it sampling? Like in music, it's not stealing, it's sampling.
You know, that's an interesting question with comedy. I try not to do that. I mean, beyond, I mean, there's always something that's a parallel thought. You know, I just came up with something with the Chiefs and the 49ers. A lot of red. So it's easy to have, like, you know, a Trump face and a Biden face where they're both red. You know, it's like red. I invented red. So right? I mean, I totally did. There wasn't red before I'd read. There wasn't red. But so you try to come up with stuff that's not, you know, everyone's doing a Trump joke, you know, but I try to think that might be my parallel to it. I don't know if people thought about his big redhead face.
When did you know that, okay, I made it?
Oh, well, you know, maybe the first Tonight Show, you know, where it's something legit, you know, they walk you out and they say, you know, you're standing on the gold star where Johnny Carson stood. It's kind of a big moment where you think, okay, I might have, I'm not in some bar, some strip club in Atlanta, you know, entertaining topless girls. I'm actually on the Tonight Show.
Wait, you did stand-up acts at strip clubs?
Yeah.
How did that?
I think every comic has done something like that. You don't all start out at the Luxor.
You don't.
No.
Okay.
Or in the Dan Patrick Show, you don't start out.
Do people like yell at you because they want to see the girls? Like,
yes,
I got to be honest with you.
No, they hated me. They hated me.
I'm at the Gold Club, and all of a sudden you're up there.
Yeah, please welcome Carrot Top.
Yeah.
I mean, 99% of the time when you hear a carrot, please welcome Carrot Top, a boo comes out. So.
Why is that?
Well, because they don't want to see me, and I didn't want to see me. I wanted to see boobs too. So that was my salvation in a sense of being on performing at the strip clubs, because I had, you know, all my props. I'd have a fake pair of boobs, so I would hold them up like, look, I got boobs too, you know. And so they would let me live another hour, because I would say, look, we're gonna go to boobs now, and then I would do one of my jokes. And then here's boobs again. So, you know, the owner loved it. He's like, I like your creative way of keeping them from killing you. So, yeah. So
who was your role model there?
Oh, well, George Carlin was probably one of the biggest ever. Richard Pryor, George Carlin.
Gallagher. Meet those guys?
Gallagher was great. George Carlin. Was tremendous. I knew him real well. Yeah, I remember I was at an airport in Philadelphia, and he walked over to me, or he was walking towards me, and I was walking towards him, and I thought, do I do it? Am I going to be that guy? You know, do I do it? You know, so I'm like, Mr. Carlin, I don't want to bother you, but I'm a young comic, and I just wanted to say hi. And he's like, "Good job," and it was just like this moment where you have where. Yeah, he's like, what are you doing, man? I said, I'm just off to another gig like you. And he said, I love that joke you do, that joke with the paper cups and string. God damn it, that's funny. And I said, oh, you know, great. And I'm thinking, man, you knew my act. And the joke was a paper cups and string telephone. You know, you'd say, hi, what's going on? I've had it for years. Well, back then I said, we need an updated version of the paper cups and strings. So I'd have another cup that came out for call waiting. So I said, hold on, I have another call. Yeah, I got to call you back. I'm going to call. So the call waiting, it was good. And then after the call waiting, I had three cups for conference calling. So it kept growing, you know, a joke that can keep growing. And then the punchline was the clear cup for caller ID. Like, I know it's you. I'm looking right at you. Thank you.
That's good.
You got a good crowd back there.
Yeah, good crowd there. Do you laugh at your own jokes?
No. I don't think any comic laughs at their own jokes. I laugh at them laughing at the joke. Like, if I do a Trump thing and then they laugh, then I laugh sometimes with them. Yeah, but if I don't sit and write a joke and just start laughing, you know.
But if
comics go, that's funny.
But I always feel like when a comedian is trying to lead you to laugh at my joke because I'm laughing at my joke.
Right.
Like,
yeah, I do that. I mean, I definitely, but if you're sitting in a room for the comics, usually every comic will go, Yeah, that's the typical response. Like, and that's funny.
How do you know when you're funny to other comedians, though? Because it's competition.
Well, right away. I mean, that's the most brutal audience you can have. So, yeah, you know, you're in a room with Seinfeld, like you just showed earlier. I'm, you know, talking to best of the best. I don't know.
Is Seinfeld you throw the best?
Oh, with the best of the best, yeah.
Nobody's close to Seinfeld.
Well, I mean, I think it's, I mean, he's in the top 10 as far as just the most classical comics, stand-up, you know.
No swearing. It doesn't go blue.
No, he's as I always say, got it. You know, he's got it.
But Pryor was...
Oh, Richard Pryor was brilliant.
When Eddie got up there, when Eddie Murphy...
Oh, Eddie Murphy. There's been so many comics that have just been... I mean, you know, some of the Dave Chappelle's now, to the Chris Rock's, to the... They're just... There's always these new guys that are... They're not even new. They're old like me now, but... that are brilliant. I mean, you know, and that's what's fun about comedy. Just like music and sports, it's all different, you know.
He's Carrot Top, 18th anniversary of his Las Vegas headlining residency at Luxor Hotel and Casino. Longest running comedy headliner in Vegas. Good for you. Just got
wow. Yeah. Look at that.
How has Vegas changed since you got here?
That's because Penn and Teller, that's the only one talk, so they can't be in the same category.
Because
we've been there longer. You don't even talk. So, yeah. I think,
How's Vegas changed?
Oh, my God. Well, you know, when I first started, I felt like that old guy. But when I started Vegas at 8 years ago, there was 10 shows. I mean, you know, there were 10 hotels. So, you know, the MGM Grand wasn't even built yet. So, when I started, so it was there's a joke in the show where I say, your room's not ready. And I say, are you cleaning it? No, we're building it right now. We're finished building it. So it's, in a sense, it's true. I've seen Vegas go, you know. Now we have the Sphere, you know, the Sphere's, you know, a billion lights to make the Sphere.
Yeah. Yeah, I went to see it yesterday.
The Luxor one. One light. We just have one little light.
Yeah.
That's all we need.
Yeah, I went to the Sphere yesterday.
Did you go check it out? Yeah.
Yeah.
I've not yet seen it. It's beautiful.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Looks beautiful.
Are you going to the Super Bowl?
I'm trying. I don't have a ticket yet. That's not why I came to the show. I just don't
that's
have...
That's a good thing.
It's a good way to start. You
yeah.
know? First day of the week, I'm promoting it. I don't have a ticket I can get. But I don't have a ticket, but I'm doing a lot of promotion. I'm doing a lot of things. I brought you these plants, and I'm doing a lot of things.
Thank you.
So...
I brought you the fire.
Yes, a beautiful fire. Yeah, this never get near that. Don't let my...
Okay, when did you decide on the... Like, how long does it take you to do your hair?
No time. I mean, I think that's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of time. No time. It's just some Sharpies, and yeah. It is what it is. Yeah, I had a lady at my show last night say, I like your old wig better. That just made me laugh. Made me laugh in two ways. Like, well, it's not a wig, too, you know. The old wig better, yeah? I said, okay.
What are you chewing on?
A cough drop.
Oh.
Because it's like 4 a.m, thanks.
So, when like, do you
not
know?
Not like being at 4 a.m. in that crazy cold.
Oh, come on, stop. You're soft.
I am soft. I'm a Dolphin fan.
Yeah, I know. Do the Dolphins make you cry like Darius Rucker?
Dolphins make me cry like Darius Rucker. They do. They do. Man, it's always, hey, next year. This is not going to be next year.
Did you
Stop
buy into them? Did you buy into
no,
them this year?
Okay. Not day one. I wasn't too a fan from day one. And everybody was like, oh, no, dude. I'm like, nope. He's soft. He got hurt in the huddle. I mean, you know, it's not easy to get hurt in the huddle.
So if anybody out there would like to take Carrot Top to the game.
Yeah, and not the Raiders game, because they're not playing this week. So it's got to be somebody. I got Raiders tickets. I don't need Raiders tickets. The Raiders lost in a bye week. They didn't do good. I'm just trying my shtick out.
You yeah, know? You're working. You're working.
I'm working my
shtick. I like you're warming up
yeah.
there.
Yeah. I like my favorite one was I played Detroit and, you know, Ford Field, right? Some Detroit Ford Field. They're a big fan base.
Yeah.
You know, Ford Field. Now I said they should get rid of the team, okay? Just get rid of the team and make it a Ford dealership. Because they would do so much better, right? It really would. And they're like, boo. And I said,
well, go figure.
And I said, I saw your quarterback at, it was when Stafford was playing. So I said, Matthew Stafford was at a bar last night. I swore I saw Matthew Stafford. So I looked over and I said, I think it's Matthew Stafford. So I bought him a drink. When I gave him the drink, he looked over and he said, thanks. And then, in nice of him, he gave me a beer. So he threw me a beer. And hit the guy next to me. I said, that's Matthew Stafford. I told you that was Matthew Stafford.
Wow. And that doesn't go over well in Detroit.
No.
Okay.
Your police escorts here. Okay.
So 18th anniversary, and if you have a ticket, you'd like to take Carrot Top to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, man, I'll dress nice. I won't wear this. I'll comb my hair.
No. The Luxor, you've been extended to 2030.
2030.
Yeah, how about that?
No, I know, right? I'll be dead by then.
Can you last that long? I was going to say.
No, I'll be dead by then. But yeah, come before I die.
It's the come before I die.
Come before I die tour.
I like that.
Time, like a ticker. You know, ticker.
It could mean a lot of things.
Could be three more shows.
Monday through Saturday at 8 Eastern.
Yes, sir.
It's great to see you.
Yeah, you too. All of you guys are great.
Thank you. Thank you. Carrot Top, everybody.
Thank you.
We'll take a break. Play of the Day is up next.
Thank you. Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, gang, this is Jay Glazer, host of Unbreakable, a mental wealth podcast. And every week, we will have on leaders from sports, entertainment, like Sean McVay, Lindsey Vonn, Michael Phelps, David Spade, Guy Fieri, and also those who can help us in between the ears. Anyone from a therapist to someone like Ed Milet or John Gordon. We've all been through some sort of adversity. To get to the top, we've all used different tools. Listen to Unbreakable with Jay Glazer and Mental Wealth Podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get podcasts.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
When it comes to live sports on Peacock, there's no off-season. Stream nonstop action all year long. Big Ten basketball, the Premier League, PGA Tour, and so much more. The biggest games, best players, and moments that you can't miss live on Peacock. You can also see this program as well on Peacock Monday through Friday. Our next guest, longtime friends of the program, that said, there was a point in my life where one Mike Golic was more than enough, and now we have two of them. And I better be careful because they could easily beat me up. They're probably saving that for Mike Greenberg. So please welcome Mike Golic and Mike Golic Jr. Yeah. Mike Sr. and Junior co-host of Gojo and Golic on DraftKings Network. Big Mike, Little Mike, although Little Mike is Big Mike.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's changed. I have a bone to pick with you.
All righty.
First off, congratulations. I just saw a publication that said you're the number one national sports show in the country. Dan Patrick,
wow.
Number one.
Okay.
That's not the bone to pick with you. Number two is Fritzy got $100 for me and Mike for being on the show. He said we had to pay to be on your show because you're number one.
Yes.
So what the hell is that?
I'm big now.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it's
all right.
Clearly.
Yeah.
All right.
Big Mike, Little Mike,
yeah,
Big Dan.
Big Dan.
That's what I was known in high school as Big Dan.
Yeah, in your mind.
Right? Yes, I was. All righty, here they are. Good to see you guys.
You too.
Number one topic this week is what now and what do you think it will be by Super Bowl?
Mike, where does Taylor Swift fit into that?
Right now, number one, considering the Grammys last night, I would say. I mean, but the Tavis thing has been the big story of most of this season. So I'd say that lead dogs the week here, and then we'll give way to football as the week goes on.
Yeah, that's always the interesting thing, as obviously, Dan, as you know as well. You try and talk as little football in the beginning of the week to kind of crescendo to it.
Though
I will say, in doing shows, as I was listening to you talk to Nicole Arbach, who's fantastic, I immediately started thinking of me and Mike's show later on today going, boy, I'm going to fight back. And I started thinking of topics to talk about, anything but the Super Bowl, you know, and still wait until later in the week.
But also you have to play the hits.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
As we know, being at ESPN, they tell you to play the hits there. And sometimes it's fun to just take, you know, that off the beaten path and say, let's go down that road. I think what's happening in college football is, I mean, it's going to be transcendent. It's going to happen. The question is when and what is it going to look like? Your thoughts on that?
You know, I looked at, as I heard Nicole talking, didn't we have the Pac-12, the Big Ten, and the ACC all arm in arm saying we're all
the
friends
Alliance.
Now?
Never forget.
The Alliance until, and how great that was going to work until it doesn't, and everybody's on their own then? Well, I look at the Big Ten now and the SEC as two prom kings out there saying, hey, let's take over the world together until we're not, until something benefits one more than the other, especially when a Greg Sankey is involved, because he's going to answer to nobody. So I always have a little trepidation when I hear people are getting together, alliances are getting together. I know you feel differently. That's the fun of battling my young, wrong son.
I think we just all see where this is going, and it's one of those, I don't know how we get there, but I'm pretty sure I know where the destination is, and it's the one super conference to rule them all that we've been whispering about forever. And when the two premier, I mean, think about how long now we've already been referencing it as the power two in college football. Like, it's the Big Ten and the SEC's world at this point. And so the fact that the two prom kings have started talking at a time where you've got lawsuits running rampant, where as soon as the NCAA tries to step in and regulate anything regarding name, image, and likeness of the changing world of college football, everyone's ready to sue because they know there are attorney generals that know that their constituency is all going to love this, and you've got the higher courts that are always going to rule in favor of players, and the schools are realizing, and the power conferences are realizing, hey, we don't have to play by your rules anymore because no one has power in this sport. It has existed largely lawlessly for a long time. The NCAA's tried to come in every once in a while and corral stuff, but It never really has been governed by anyone, and so there's a great chance to create power out of nowhere.
We're talking to Mike Golic Sr., Mike Golic Jr., and they are the co-host of Gojo and Golic on DraftKings Network. You know, Patrick Mahomes has gotten into that category where we did this morning before we came on. We're like, how many conference championships has he been to? Like, when you start to forget, like LeBron, Tom Brady. Wait, Brady's got, seven Super Bowls. Like, you get into that category there, and that's when you know you've made it. When we forget how many you've been to, how many you've won, is Mahomes the second greatest quarterback of all time right now?
See, I want to hold off on that because me being, you know, one of the older people, how many people remember Johnny Unitas or some of the great quarterbacks back in the day? Exhibit A.
I didn't realize you were going to get a Johnny Unitas reference
there
already.
There was great quarterback play decades ago.
That's
right?
Sid Luckman. Man, I remember him.
There was football in the year 2000. I mean, but seriously, I get laughed at when I say that, but how do you judge all of that, right? We're in a stats world
now.
What
about ability? greatest ability.
Listen, you look at athletes back in the day to now, they're just better athletes, but that always doesn't make them better. But with Pat, you're getting that rare combination of he's a better athlete than a lot of quarterbacks and better than a lot of quarterbacks. Am I going to put him in the top two right now? No, I'm going to wait because I'm going to give the players before him the benefit of the doubt of their longevity. Okay, Pat's been great right out of the gate, but let's let it continue to happen. I don't know if he'll get to Tom's statistical area of postseasons and Super Bowls. So I'm going to wait on that. But I'll put it this way: he's in the team picture right now.
With their longevity, most of them have not accomplished what he's done and the way he's done it. And that's always the differentiator for me is because we're going to have and some people call it lazy, the comparison with Tom Brady and us wanting to fast track him for that. But that's earned, not given. Like you pointed out, he's 28 and we're already forgetting stuff that he did. That's insane. It shouldn't be happening. And because of that, and because he's been the driving force, this has been the first year where it's like, oh, they're, you know, defense and a run game, and Pat's got to make plays every once in a while. It was him to start. He was the thing that drove the ship out of the gate and is now getting the cavalry to come help, which is why I think he deserves a lot more place in that conversation than maybe you want to give him.
We were talking about this morning as well, that in 20 years from now, do we find those Kansas City Chiefs who were kind of, it was spawned now in the last 5 years or so, or even now with Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce, like it was with the Cowboys in the 70s, Packers in the 60s. A lot of our fan bases are based off what happened in the 70s or the 60s. Steelers, Cowboys, Packers, Niners.
Right.
And now you have the Kansas City Chiefs. The Patriots were never America's team.
No.
Boston's team, but never America's team. But is Kansas City capable of being America's team?
Well, I think part of it is how are you looked at? Are you looked at as somebody you want to see beaten, or are you looking at like, I like these people? Bill, you know, doing his press conferences, he wasn't endearing himself to anybody. Tom was doing it the Bill Belichick way and not saying anything until he got to Tampa Bay, and then all of a sudden he broke out a little bit. Who doesn't love Andy Reid? By the way, Andy's not getting enough talk either. This guy's walking straight into the Hall of Fame as well for what he's doing. Mahomes is fun. Travis Kelce has always been fun, and now the whole Taylor Swift thing as well. They're kind of a fun team to follow, but Dan, you know this. We've been doing this a long time. You love a team on the rise and when they're at the top for a little bit, yes. And then, man, you want to see darts thrown at them. You want to see them come crashing down.
It's like when you have your favorite band. You know, I remember seeing them at Toad's Place, and then all of a sudden they're like, yeah. They're playing the garden. I hate them now.
Exactly. So I do think they are really likable right now, even lovable to a point, especially the whole Taylor Swift thing is added in there. I've been so disgusted with our football people who have had a problem with that. I'm just like, God, leave it alone.
Why? Why do people have a problem?
I have no idea. Do you remember when Jessica Simpson was shown all the time when she was dating Tony Romo? We never heard any of
this. She wasn't shown nearly enough.
No. There you go.
We also did hear a lot of this back then, by the way. People have never... The, like, knuckle-dragging football crowd has never really liked women invading their space in any meaningful
way.
Didn't
they go to Cancun at one point? It was a huge scandal. He's not focused on the game. Yeah.
But that was the quarterback of the Cowboys going to Cancun, and he cost the Cowboys, you know, in their mind. Like, you know, your mind should be on football. You know, Taylor doesn't show up and say, hey, you know, I haven't been on camera in a while.
Exactly.
You know, CBS shows Robert Kraft a couple of times every game. Or Jerry Jones every game.
And are we really better off for that?
I don't need to see them.
No. Exactly. And oh, by the way, for everybody out there, Travis Kelce's numbers with Taylor there are better than his numbers without Taylor there, okay?
Taylor plus minus.
Just so we set that up instead of people saying, oh, she shows up and Travis plays bad. No, he doesn't. Though he did have two drops in the last game.
Where do you stand on this as we move? She might be a villain here if Kansas City loses.
She was when they went to Baltimore, too. Like, that was finally the fan base that was like, oh, yeah, no, we're going to throw rocks at this whole situation, which I get. It's this point in the postseason. They are the team. And to Dad's point about what they're going to represent to a lot of people. Like, I don't know if we're going to get to a point where anyone can really be America's team anymore because everyone's so exposed now. For these guys, theirs is different because he's transcended. Like, I would, sports stories, you guys have seen Break Contain at some point. When you start to see him talked about on GMA and the shows that are outside of our bubble, they've broken Contain both with this relationship and with that combination of, in a helmet sport, Travis has been one of the guys whose face you've gotten to know because of the podcast, because of the relationship. And so they've got a chance to reach more casual eyeballs than most, but I think because everyone's so exposed and because these guys are now the stopper on top of a conference for a lot of people, i.e. Buffalo, whose happiness is being really affected by the fact that Patrick Mahomes and these Chiefs exist.
I find it interesting that this is probably the best matchup, but the matchup that we didn't want. That they didn't have the storylines that I think if Buffalo was here against Detroit, people would be more excited. Even though these are probably the two best teams. But it's weird how we're like, yeah, didn't we see this a couple of years ago?
Yeah, well, we did. We saw a Kansas City win there. I think one of the interesting things, and we had Mike and I had Richard Sherman on our show, and he talked about everybody loves a good underdog story except for Brock Purdy. For some reason, Brock Purdy, who has been doing great out there, we can't give him the love because you say, oh, he's got four or five people to dish the ball out to. Well, yeah, so what? Most players have great players around them as well. But I'm with you because we're going to talk about Mahomes. We're going to talk about Brock Purdy. But this, like the AFC Championship game, could be a game talked about on defense. And that's like a swear word to anybody else except for like me, a former defensive player. I love seeing great defense, and you may get that here.
Yeah, I think having that underdog of if Buffalo and Detroit, somebody's going to get their first Super Bowl.
Right, right.
And it's interesting, though, that people are like, you know, there's no buzz here. But these are the two best teams.
They are.
And it feels like the media will probably, you know, enhance the Taylor Swift thing because maybe we've been down this road with all these different storylines, with Mahomes, with Kelsey. But the Brock Purdy one, he didn't get this chance last year. Now he gets this chance. And I've said before, I think he's got to win two Super Bowls, Mike, before people give him credit. Not one. I think they'll go, okay, all right, let me see you do it again.
We went through this with Peyton Manning, right? I mean, and it still blows my mind, and I know it's a topic nobody cares to discuss anymore, but why do we put Super Bowl wins with quarterbacks when there's offense, defense, special teams, wins and losses? I never understood that. But regardless of what I think, that's where we are. I mean, it comes down to the number, so I think they could have been there last year. Brock Purdy doesn't get his elbow hurt. But I'm with you. You know, nowadays for quarterbacks, we keep talking about that with Aaron Rodgers, right? He could use another one as well, even though he's walking into the Hall of Fame. That numbers count for quarterbacks.
I think Brock is such an interesting, because it's multiple conversations happening at once with Brock, with everybody just jumping into the fray, because there is, oh, he's a great story. He has outperformed his draft status. He has maxed out his physical ability. He is running this offense much better than his predecessor, Jimmy Garoppolo. For all the people who want to say, well, Kyle was able to get Jimmy Garoppolo to be a winning quarterback in the postseason, their numbers are not really comparable in the postseason. Brock is a markedly better quarterback, especially we've seen late in games in this postseason. But that then gets him, because of the team success, into these MVP conversations where now you're staring eye to eye with Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes and quarterbacks. He is very much not at this juncture as a second-year player who was the last pick in the draft. So it's a tough eval because of that. But I hope this week we kind of do settle into, hey, this is pretty damn cool that this guy has answered the bell at every turn in a postseason where we didn't think the Niners could come back and win games, and he's done it twice in games he's played bad. That's a level of moxie from a second-year player coming off an injury that is wild.
I probably have to take credit and blame for assigning game manager to quarterbacks. It started with Alex Smith, and Alex is not my friend, but that's okay. I think we have to change game commander. Like if I dress it up a little bit, like game manager, okay, it doesn't sound good. But like we want to change the name of Meatloaf to something different because it doesn't sound good. Ooh. You're going to have Meatloaf, but if you change it to Meat Heaven, then Meat Mountain, then maybe we view it differently. So
Meat Mountain, I like that one.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. By the way, the Meat Mountain is a secret menu item at Arby's, and I don't recommend anyone orders it. I did it so you don't have to.
Right, thank you, Mike.
I went down in the Arby's coal mines for you, and I came out alive, but I didn't feel great about it.
There are two terms that are the F word of football, game manager and analytics. analytics should just be redistributed as that information,
Absolutely.
Analytics. It's just information that we digest and then decide what we want
to
do.
Yeah. By the way, Dan, to your point about rebranding it, someone, and I wish I could remember who it was and give them credit. This is not me. This is stolen valor from Twitter. But someone called it Game CEO. Like, you're not the manager.
Okay.
Like, you're a C-suite executive of this thing.
Okay.
You're out here wheeling
like
and dealing.
Right.
So
I'm
that
fine.
Could be a route we go.
Yeah, yeah. I got to get, you know, away from this because I brought this up a couple of times. You know, Bart Starr, game manager. Or, you know, Bob Greasy, game manager.
Right.
Johnny Unitas, game manager. Tom Brady, game manager. It's not a negative, but it makes it seem like you're not talented. So
right.
That's where I get it. So if we change it to game commander, game general.
Ooh. It's up
like,
to you to do that.
I will do that.
You have you have the ability.
I have the number one show
there
in America.
You go. You do.
That's all.
Exactly. Right.
When's the last time you spanked him?
When I spanked him?
Yeah.
2 days ago?
He tried last night at dinner to take a swipe. I was the one that lead dog dessert because everyone else was afraid of it. And I'm not going to run from the fight. And I ordered this plate of ice cream. And as soon as it lands, I see him trained over in my direction.
Had a spoon.
And he went and reached, and I parried his spoon away with mine.
Ooh,
and deflected him. That was a big moment in the father-son dynamic.
Like
all of a sudden, I've denied
Normally, he
him.
Just gives in, and now he doesn't anymore.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
Great to see you guys. Mike Sr., Mike Jr., the co-host of Gojo and Golic on DraftKings Network. We'll take a break. We're back after this in the Dan Patrick Show.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we got to give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are going to be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver. And this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Thanks again to Fountain Blue and all of our great sponsors here. And our studio audience that we have, braving the bad weather that we have here. Gift bags to our in-studio guests, Keeper's Heart Whiskey, Good Ranchers. They're supplying all the meat for, it's a meat Friday on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Miller Lite, the original Louisiana brand hot sauce, King's Hawaiian, and Traeger Grills. We'll try to sneak in a few more phone calls here before we close up shop on this Monday. He is our good buddy Ross Tucker, host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, and he can be found on social media at Ross Tucker NFL. We call him the meathead James Vanderbeek, the great actor. He looks a lot like Ross Tucker, who joins us on the program. Ladies and gentlemen, Ross Tucker. Of course, James Vanderbeek was on, what was that, Saved by the Bell? Is that
Dawson's Creek?
Oh, Dawson's Creek.
Dan, true story.
Okay.
Okay. Nobody ever told me that I looked like James Vanderbeek until a couple times when I filled in for you. And then it became this thing, meathead James Vanderbeek. One of my roles for Westwood One is at the end of the conference championship game, I interview the winning head coach and quarterback when they come down off the podium. Okay? So I talked to Mahomes for a minute, and I'm talking to Andy Reid, and he's got his arm around his wife, Tammy Reid, and she's just smiling and listening as I'm doing the interview. The interview ends, and she looks at me and she says, "Has anyone ever told you you look like the guy from Dawson's Creek?" I was like, "Paulie told you to say that, didn't he?" Like, there's no way. Like, Andy Reid's wife said out of the blue. Maybe she listens or watches the show. I don't know.
Meathead James Vanderbeek.
Yeah, I like it. I like me. I mean, he's not a bad-looking guy.
No.
I mean, I don't know that he's my level, but he's not a bad-looking guy.
And he couldn't get into Princeton like you did.
Well, I'm still mad about Varsity Blues.
Why?
The movie he was in?
Yeah.
Well, number one, if you have an opportunity for the whipped cream sundae or whatever that was, you're in high school and you're playing football, you take advantage of that opportunity. So I'm a little upset that he didn't take advantage of the whipped cream. What were they called?
Was that,
the whipped cream?
Was that Allie
Larder?
Yes.
Whipped cream. Secondly, he was so focused on getting into Brown when they're trying to win a West Texas State Championship.
Yeah.
I mean, get some priorities, Vanderbeek.
Yeah.
I mean, his dad had the right priorities, okay? His dad knew that they had to play state high on Wednesday or whatever. It was amazing.
Okay, best football movies.
Ooh, that's a good question. I'm kind of a softie for, like, a Rudy.
Yeah.
I'm kind of a softie for, like, a Rudy. Seton loves it.
Well, no, that's a documentary. Seton says it's not a movie, that's a documentary.
I do love documentaries. But, so, I grew up going to some Notre Dame games, but also...
Okay, but when Montana came on our show a few years ago and basically dispelled any of the myth of Rudy...
That hurts.
And he caught a lot of heat, too. There were a lot of people upset with Joe Montana.
Yeah.
Like, don't you dare tell me that Rudy didn't really get that sack. He was offsides, first of all. Right?
That's my favorite for any Notre Dame game where, like, college game day, somebody will have the sign, Rudy was offsides. It's so good.
But it is true.
It's so good.
He did jump the count there.
It's so funny. Dan, I actually sent... Back in the mid-90s, okay, I sent out 35 VHS tapes to colleges. My coach said I was 1AA, but I sent it to Notre Dame and Penn State anyway, right? And I got a letter back from Notre Dame about if I wanted to walk on. And so I can sort of think about what that was like for Rudy, which, by the way, kills me because growing up in Pennsylvania, I had Penn State season tickets, and my wife hates when I say this, but... Once I made the NFL, the Penn State guys like LeVar Arrington and Kenny Watson, they were like, "Man, you were started like 3 years for us." And I was like, "Oh, don't tell me that. Don't tell me that. And my wife wanted to go to Princeton, so she's always like, "If you say that one more time." Different perspectives.
He's meathead James Vanderbeek, Ross Tucker, from Westwood One, CBS Sports NFL and college football analyst. It was on this day in 2012 when the Giants beat the Patriots to win the Super Bowl. Was that the one where I got roasted going on Letterman and I said the Giants will win the Super Bowl? And he said, "Have you been drinking?" And I hadn't, but I remember you taped the show in the, like, at 5:30.
Yeah.
I got done. And I think Paulie said, you know, like, what did you do? And I said the Giants will beat the Patriots. He goes, that's crazy. And I, so nothing happens. So it's done at 5:30, 6 o'clock. I drive home. Show airs that night. The next day, people are going, how stupid are you that you think the Giants will beat the Patriots? And I said, I thought that because they had played the Patriots the final regular season game, I think, that year. And so I thought, okay, they're not afraid of them. They know what to expect. Now, was I surprised that they won? I was. But I just remember making a prediction where it just kind of lingers. It hangs out there, and you go, I'm going to get crucified. Have you had one of those predictions where you go, why did I say that?
Well, so what's wild is I had six different people text message me this morning because I went on some radio station in Kansas City, and I said, I have no idea why the 49ers are favored in this game. It just doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, you watch the three Chiefs playoff games, Dan. They were the better team in all three, including at Buffalo, at Baltimore.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the Niners, I mean, I can think of six plays maybe off the top of my head against the Packers where if that went the other way, Keyshawn Nixon dropped the pick, Darnell Savage dropped the pick, the Packers would have won. And then the Lions were bashing the Niners' brains in until they had, that might have been one of the most painful collapses, meltdowns that I've ever seen. And I'm not like a Lions fan, but that was hard to watch. So anyway, I just said it doesn't seem logical to me that the 49ers would be favored. Now, they might win, but I guess my point would be if these teams played 10 times, I think the Chiefs win 7, maybe 8. So I have no idea why that got news, but it got picked up by a certain cable news outlet.
Mm.
So my friends or people I know in my life are telling my dad, they're telling on themselves for what cable news outlet they watch because they're all texting me, you're on the front page of bleep, bleep, bleep. I mean, I was like, really? For just saying I'm surprised the Niners are favored? Is that, I don't feel like that's, like, aren't you a little surprised the Niners are favored?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't want to say anything more because I don't want to end up on the front page of somebody. Like, you know, it's weird how when you make a prediction, they think you either love their team or you hate their team.
Right.
So when I say, like, I'd never bet against Patrick Mahomes. I just wouldn't. I wouldn't bet against Tom Brady. I mean, I've been doing this 40 years. I sort of have this figured out here. And so when I say I'd never root against Patrick Mahomes, oh, so you don't like the Niners or you don't like Brock Purdy? I go, no, it's not that. I don't have any bias whatsoever. If you said the Niners are going to be, you know, dominate and it's going to be an impressive performance and Brock Purdy's the MVP, I'd go, awesome.
Yeah.
I'm just analyzing a stock.
Right.
That's all this is. I'm looking at a stock, and the stock is Patrick Mahomes. I'm investing in that. And, you know, they're 2-point underdogs, and I wouldn't be surprised, you know, that if they go off as a betting favorite, if people, you know, start to look at the numbers here.
And Dan, you referenced Tom Brady, and I think that's the right name for Patrick Mahomes. And the reason why I say that is, I don't know if it's conscious or subconscious, but we're to the point now where, you know, the Chiefs, they went to Baltimore. I thought Baltimore was the best team in the league this year, right? The Chiefs went in there. They took it right to them.
Yeah.
And I remember, I played with Drew Bledsoe. I started a bunch of games in Buffalo with Drew Bledsoe. Really good quarterback. And we thought we were going to win because we had Bledsoe. When I went to New England, you know you're going to win. You have the guy. Like, even if you're down 2 scores late, you're literally thinking in your head, we're still going to win. We have Brady or we have Mahomes. It's just a matter of how. And I think that subconsciously seeps in because then the other teams start doing stupid stuff. The Ravens are getting penalties. The Ravens, are, you know, Lamar Jackson had one of the worst playoff interceptions I've ever seen. And it just seems like people make critical errors, dumb mistakes against the Patriots, against the Chiefs, where you're like, what are they doing? And I don't know if it's conscious or subconscious, but it's a fact.
Yeah, because if anything, you have to keep your composure. Like, you can't try to force things, but that's what they sort of speed you up a little bit. Speaking of the Patriots, I said last week, I don't see Bill Belichick coaching in the NFL again as a head coach.
Ever again.
Unless it's Dallas, unless something happens and then Jerry Jones goes, all right, come on in, Bill. I got to win one while I'm still alive. Maybe the Eagles. But you would know better since you cover the Eagles if that owner, Jeffrey Lurie, I mean, I think they were interested in him. They just didn't pull the trigger. If you bring it, I mean, Nick Sirianni is, He's on, it's a really, it's as hot as that, you know, that flame behind you there under his seat. I just don't know if somebody's going to go to Bill, come on in and run the show here.
I don't know if they're going to do that. I would be shocked if he's not hired as a head coach a year from now. Two reasons. Number one, I don't know what the right term for this is, Dan, but I think he's going to have like a media cleansing this year. He's going to work somewhere in the media. He's going to be insightful. He's going to show personality. And there's something weird about when you stop coaching and people see a different side of you because they're only used to the just on to Cincinnati. Like they're only used to
that. Wait, was that Bill Murray? And
I don't know. That was a terrible Bill Murray
story. Cinderella story.
Flowing robes, beautiful. I think after a year in the media, a year from now, a lot of people are going to be like, you know what? I like him. He is the best coach ever. They're going to forget what a jerk he is in press conference now. And I don't know if it's like media cleansing or whatever. That and the fact, Dan, I know you know him decently well.
No, I don't.
Well, I think you know this part. He wants that record bad. I don't care what he says. He wants that record bad. So if a year from now he has to humble himself and just be a head coach, I think he overplayed his hand this year.
Yeah.
I think he thought he could run the whole show in Atlanta. So that's what he went for. Next year, now that he's out for the whole year, I think he'll put feelers out about running the whole show. But if it comes down to it, I think he'll accept just being a coach somewhere so he can get whatever his 13 wins. I don't know.
15.
15 wins so he can get that over the next couple of years and have that.
I don't know.
Because you ever notice they don't do anything with the media, but anytime the Patriots win the Super Bowl, it's like, oh my gosh, NFL Films has been there all year. We had no idea. And they have this documentary with the coaches like, and that's why on 3rd and 8, we saw when his left pinky toe was pointed outwards. He was going to run an in-breaking route. It's like, wait a minute. I want to see the videos, Dan, from all the years when the Patriots stink. I want to see the NFL Films cameras and guys from the years when they're not, because they're always there when they win the whole thing.
Yeah. I understand what you're saying about the media cleansing, but you still have to turn your team over to him or believe that he's just going to coach and he's not going to be part of the front office there.
Right.
I think that's where you say, hey, no, I just want to coach. And then all of a sudden you start coaching and then you're like Bill showing up at meetings where you go, what are you doing here? No, just coaching. Just thought I'd stop.
Well, and that's the problem with like Atlanta. So Terry Fontenot's the GM there. Rich McKay is the president there. You think they wanted Belichick?
No.
Absolutely not. And they talk to Arthur Blank every day.
Yeah, I don't see that happening. Do you think that Brady stays in the booth for 10 years at Fox?
No, I don't. That would surprise me. I think he might move on to other things. I'm fascinated to see how he does. You know, nobody will be more prepared. And he does have a good personality. I guess I'm just curious. We've never really seen him with his guard down. And we also haven't really seen him be overly critical of people. He's a very positive person. He's like, I'm going to be curious because what I sense from him is he would be really frustrated by dumb plays by other quarterbacks.
But we see that with Peyton on the Manning cast.
Like, and I'm hoping Tom is real. I'm hoping, like, when a quarterback does something dumb, like the Lamar Jackson interception, I hope Tom is just like, this is unacceptable. Like, because he has a lot of anger in him, right? Like, that's what fuels him. I would love if he's like, this is unacceptable. You cannot do this. I have no, like, that would be good TV. That would be good if he really acted the way he normally would when watching a quarterback do something like that.
Well, we have Tony Romo joining us now, and,
I don't know, Jim. What do you think?
But that's all. That's his Tony Romo impersonation.
At least Seton waits for you to cue him up.
Yes, he does.
Fritzy just goes into it, thinks it's the Todd Fritz show.
Todd just blows through the stop sign. But, you know, when Jim Nance will go, coming up following the football game, 60 Minutes, 6 up on the West Coast, and then the new equalizer. 3rd and 8. Tony, what do you think will happen here?
I don't know. I mean, they could run it. They could pass. What would you do, Jim?
He only said that once in a game.
I know, but that didn't stop us from using it all the time. Like, he's asking the play-by-play guy, what would you do, Jim?
Yeah, what would you do? Like, dude, that's why you're here, Tony.
I think Jim Nance is joining us this week. Is that right, Don?
On Wednesday.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Will we do the Tony Romo impersonation to Jim Nance? Okay.
I don't think Jim is going to...
He won't laugh? He can't laugh.
He can't. Yeah, he can't.
But, like, deep down, he might laugh.
Goodbye, friends.
Yes. All right. Hey, great to see you.
Always great
Always.
To see you. This
Thank
is
you.
Unbelievable, by the way.
Yes, it is.
This is so
wonderful.
Cool.
Yep.
The fans
wonderful.
Here,
yep.
It's amazing.
Yep.
Amazing.
They only came to see you. They're leaving right after this.
Yeah.
Thank you for all the contributions with the show. We appreciate it all year long.
No, man, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity. It's awesome.
He's Ross Tucker from Westwood One, CBS Sports. Take a break. We'll close up shop after this.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.